Parshas Re'eh. After we have learned in the first three parshas, Devarim, Veschanan, and Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Yidden. Moshe was warning them how careful they should be when they come into Eretz Yisrael. And now Moshe turned toward Yehoshua, the one who's going to lead the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe said to him, after taking the Yidden across the Yarden, you're going to come to a place that has two mountains. One is Har Gerizim, and the other one Har Evel. Half of the Yidden, that is, six Shvatim, should go up to the top of Har Gerizim, and the other six Shvatim should go up to the top of Har Evel. And in the center, between the two mountains, there should be the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Arim. The Levim will turn towards Har Gerizim and announce 11 brachos, blessings to the Yidden who are going to keep the mitzvahs. There are 11 special mitzvahs that the Levim are going to announce, that for keeping them, the Yidden will be blessed. They will also say 11 curses for those who do the opposite and don't keep the mitzvah properly. We're going to learn more about it in Yirtza Hashem in Parshas Kisavai. And that is the meaning of the first words of this parsha. Ve'ei anochi nosein lifneichem hayom. Moshe says to the Yidden, see, I present before you today bracha uklala, a blessing and a curse. Es habracha asher tishme'u, the blessing that you listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, and the opposite, if you chas v'shalem, do not listen to Hashem. And then the Torah tells us that Moshe continued to teach the Yidden and review with them more mitzvahs. One mitzvah that is very important, and we have learned about it several times in the previous parshas, is how to get rid of all idols from Eretz Canaan. Moshe said to the Yidden, before you're able to make Eretz Canaan into a holy land, to become Eretz Yisrael, before you build up a Beis HaMikdash, you must first get rid of all objects that have any connection with the idols. If you see any mizbechos, altars, from the idols, or any stones or trees, get rid of them by any way possible. Break them down, burn them, throw them into the sea. Don't leave any trace of the idols whatsoever. If a certain place was named after the idol, then change its name to some funny nickname. And while it's a mitzvah to get rid of any idols in any country in the world where Jews have the power to do so, in Eretz Yisrael, a Yid has a mitzvah to go further, not only to get rid of all the known idols, but also he must search and get rid of any hidden ones as well. Because Hashem hates all idols or anything that has to do with idols. And before Hashem, nothing can be hidden. Our Chachamim tell us of the following story. The Roman governor, whose name was Turnus Rufus, asked Rabbi Akiva, why did your God say that he hates Esav? I'll answer you tomorrow, said Rabbi Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva came before Turnus Rufus the next day, he said to him, last night I had a curious dream.
What was it? Asked Turnus Rufus.
I dreamt that I had two dogs. I named them Rufus and Rufina.
What? How dare you name your dogs after me and my wife?
Rabbi Akiva explained him. You see, there are many similar things between you and a dog. You eat, and so does he. You have children, so does he. And just as you die, he does. Yet, as soon as I called a dog by your name, you became so upset and insulted. Now, the Almighty is the creator of the universe. He is forever and all-powerful. Yet you, Goyim, the nations, come along and name images or trees gods. Do you expect God to accept that? It is for this reason that God says, I hate Esav. Yes, the Torah repeats again and again how terrible the sin of idol worship is, because there is no greater sin than using one's mind that is able to think and understand and realize that Hashem is the Creator and All-Powerful, and use that same mind to chas v'shalom give any importance to any idols. That is what Hashem hates so much. And that's why our Chachamim tell us, one who serves idols, it's as if he denied the entire Torah. And that's why there are so many warnings in the Torah against worshipping idols. Now, after Moshe told the Yidden how to get rid of all the idols, Moshe said, Lo sa'asun kein la'Hashem Elokeichem. You shall not do so to Hashem your God. This teaches us, just like it's such a great mitzvah to destroy all idols and anything that has to do with them, the same thing, it's a big avera to destroy anything that has Hashem's holy name. Even if a person erases just one letter of Hashem's name, it's a terrible sin. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch tells us of how much care we must take with the holy books, Sifrei Kodesh. Whenever you have a Sefer, whether it's a Chumash, a Navi, a Tehillim, a Siddur, a Gemara, or any holy book that has Torah in it, we must give it very much care. We must treat it as the most precious thing in the world. It actually is the most precious thing. It's Hashem's gift to all the Yidden. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us about many laws of how to treat Sfarim. For example, never to sit down on a bench or a chair where there is a sefer. We first must remove the sefer, and then we can sit down. We must also never place anything on top of a sefer, whether it is a piece of paper, a pen, or any object whatsoever. Nothing belongs on top of a sefer. And if a sefer ever gets torn or used so much that we can't use it anymore, we must then bury it. Moshe also warned the Yidden, while you must destroy the altars, the mizbeches of the idols, do not remove even one stone from the mizbeach of Hashem. Moshe also warned the Yidden, after building for Hashem a Beis HaMikdash, you may not continue to bring any karbanos on private mizbechos, as you used to do in the Midbar before the Mishkan was built, and as you will be permitted to do during the years of conquering and settling the land Eretz Yisrael. But once the Beis HaMikdash is built up, there is only one place to bring karbanos, and that is to the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this does not mean that you have to travel to the Beis HaMikdash each time you want to have some meat. Rather, Hashem permits you to slaughter, to shecht meat for your meals wherever you are, as long as you follow the laws of the Torah about shechita, slaughtering meat. Hashem told Moshe, if a Yid wants to eat the meat of a kosher animal or bird, he must first slaughter it, shecht it, according to the halachos that I taught you at Har Sinai. But fish does not have to have shechita. Any animal which was not shechted, slaughtered properly, according to the halacha, is called nevela, and may not be eaten by a Jew. The shechet says a bracha before he begins to slaughter. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, asher kidushanu b'mitzvosav, v'tzivanu al hashechita. Now one may ask, aren't we commanded to treat all animals and creatures with kindness? So how is it right that we should slaughter an animal or a bird just because we want to have meat? The answer is that we are doing this as a favor to the bird or the animal. You see, the world has four different kinds of creations. One is called daimim. Those are the minerals, water, rocks, dust, things that don't show any signs of life. They just sit in one place the whole time. They cannot move around on their own. The second kind is called tzemeach. Tzemeach means all growing things, where you do see some life. When a plant begins to grow, you see how it grows from being very small to very big. The same thing is with all kinds of trees, vegetables, anything that grows from the ground are all called tzemeach. Then we have the third kind, which is called chai. Chai are living creatures, such as animals, beasts, birds, fish. Those are not just like plants, but they're much more alive. They move around, they walk, they fly, they swim. And then comes the fourth kind, which is called medaber. That is, the human being who is given the power to speak. Now when a Yid takes a glass of water, for example, and says a bracha, and drinks it, we take that water in ourselves, and it becomes part of the human being, part of us. Then when we serve Hashem, we are serving Hashem along with that water that you drank. So then, the water is brought closer to Hashem. The same thing is when we eat any fruits or vegetables, or anything from tzemeach that grows from the ground. They all give us strength to serve Hashem. So when we say a bracha, and we eat it, and with that strength we serve Hashem, we do mitzvahs, then we are bringing these fruits and vegetables closer to Hashem. And the same thing is with chai, all living creatures. When a Yid eats the meat of a kosher animal, or a kosher bird, or fish, then we are elevating it and bringing it closer to Hashem. Yes, when we learn Torah, we daven, we do mitzvahs after eating a piece of meat, then we are actually making that piece of meat daven to Hashem with us, because that piece of meat became part of our body, who is serving Hashem. So actually, whatever we use from this world that is permitted for a Jew to use, whether it is a glass of water, a fruit or a vegetable, a piece of meat from a kosher animal, if we say a bracha on it, and we eat it for the sake of Hashem in order to serve Hashem better, then we are bringing it all closer to Hashem. And that was the entire purpose of why Hashem created this world, in order that Yidden should learn Torah and do mitzvahs in this world and elevate this world, make it a holy place where Hashem can reveal the Shekhinah. And this will be revealed very, very soon through the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. So actually, when we shecht, we slaughter an animal and eat its meat, we're not being cruel to it, just the opposite. We're doing it a big favor. We're allowing it to become closer to Hashem. But this is, of course, only if the person does it in the way the Torah teaches us to do it. That is, to use only kosher food and drinks. A person cannot take something which is not kosher and eat it and say, with this strength, I'm going to serve Hashem. No, Hashem does not want that. And not only will Hashem not accept it, but just the opposite. The person is bringing upon himself a sin. That's why before a Jew eats anything or drinks anything, he's supposed to make sure that it is 100% kosher. If it's something that you buy in a store, you must make sure that it has a hechsher, a reliable supervision. That means that a God-fearing Jew must be in charge, watching and supervising every detail of how they make this food. There are many big companies that have so many machines that help making certain kinds of foods. Yet, you never know that maybe one of the many ingredients that they put into this food, which may seem to you to be kosher, maybe just one little ingredient is not kosher. Or maybe the machines were once used for something that was not kosher, and now they want to use the same machine for kosher food. And before we use it for kosher food, they must clean it out perfectly and then kosher it by using very hot water or other methods of making it kosher. And only a God-fearing Jew who understands how these machines work will know whether it was made in the proper way. That is why, before we buy any foods whatsoever, we must check and find out whether it has a reliable hechsher, a proper supervision of a God-fearing Jew, to make sure it is 100% kosher. And being that we're talking about shechita, slaughtering, I would like you to know that slaughtering is a very difficult job. The knife that the shechet uses to slaughter the animal with must be 100% perfectly sharp and smooth. And the way to test it, the shechet would run his fingernail up and down the blade very softly and carefully to make sure that there isn't even the slightest, softest nick on the blade. It must be 100% perfectly smooth. If there is even one little tiny nick on the blade, we are not allowed to shecht with it. And if a shechet does shecht with it, the animal is not kosher. One of the many reasons for this is because when it's perfectly smooth and sharp, the animal does not feel any pain whatsoever. So that means that this is the way we can slaughter it without giving any pain to the animal at all. Now there are many, many other laws of how to check the animal after it was slaughtered to make sure that it is 100% kosher. Sometimes it can be slaughtered perfectly, and later they found out that there is something wrong with the lungs or the liver, or other parts of the body. That is the reason why, before we buy meat of an animal or bird, we must make sure that the shaychet, as well as the one who's supervising him, must be a God-fearing Jew to make sure it is done properly the way Hashem wants. And then we have the opportunity to bring everything around us, including the animals and the birds and everything in this world, closer to Hashem. Moshe now continued and told the Yidden, the nations who live in Eretz Canaan are being sent out from there because of their bad practices. Never imitate them. Never try to do anything that they do for worshipping their idols. Don't even try to find out what they do thinking, I will act the same way, but in God's honor. No, you may not do that. In honor of their gods, the nations do all kind of bad things that Hashem hates. They even burn their sons and daughters alive in fire. There were even those who used to sacrifice their parents too. Our Chachamim tell us that Rabbi Akiva once said, I saw a non-Jew who tied up his father in front of his dog, and the dog ate the father. The Torah says that besides that worshipping idols is bad, Hashem hates the wicked customs of those people. A Jew must therefore distance himself from all practices of the idol worshippers. Moshe then instructed the Yidden, fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah exactly as you were told by Hashem. Do not add to it or subtract from them. For example, putting 5 sections on the tefillin of the head instead of 4, or using 5 different kinds for the mitzvah of lulav instead of 4, or the kohanim should not add a 4th bracha to the 3 brachas that they're supposed to bless the Yidden. Now comes a very important mitzvah that the Yidden should watch out for any false navi, a false prophet. Moshe warned the Yidden, if any prophet, whether Jewish or otherwise, gets up amongst you and says that some god other than Hashem gave him a special message to give to the Jews, or even if he comes and claims that Hashem himself spoke to him, but what he's telling the Jews is that they should take away one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, then you know for sure that he is a false prophet. Do not believe him, even if he's going to tell you things that are going to happen in the future. Don't care about his words whatsoever. Don't think that there is any truth in his words, even if he performs wonders in heaven or on earth. Don't care about him, even if he makes the sun stand still in the sky. And don't go into arguments with him whatsoever. Rather, you have a mitzvah to put him to death as a false prophet. And if you're going to ask, why does Hashem allow him to perform such miracles? The answer is, because Hashem is testing how loyal you are to Hashem. If you stand by Hashem and don't allow anyone to mislead you, then the heavenly accusers against the Jewish people are silenced, and Hashem proudly praises the Yidden. Now how can we be so sure that any prophet who goes against Moshe's Torah is false? The answer is, our forefathers accepted the truth of what Moshe said because they were there at Har Sinai. They themselves saw and heard the words from Hashem. They witnessed how Hashem spoke the first 2 of the 10 commandments, and heard how Hashem spoke to Moshe. And how many Yidden were there then? millions of Yidden. They all witnessed this with their own eyes. And that's why anyone who comes later as a prophet and shows signs, wonders, or tells about revelations, we can accept it only if we are instructed by the Torah to believe him. And that is only those prophets who say things which follow the laws of the Torah, we can believe them. But if a prophet comes and instructs us to take out permanently one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, is put to death by Beis Din. And now Moshe tells the Yidden to be very careful of any Yid who might be a Mesis, that is, a Jew who tries to get another Yid to worship idols. Moshe warned the Yidden, if any Yid, even a close relative such as your father or your wife, should ever say to you, let's leave alone the mitzvahs that our forefathers taught us. Let's serve one of the gods of the Goyim. You should, of course, not listen to him. Don't even try to find out what kind of worship does he want you to do to the other idols. Rather, try to find witnesses against this Mesis who's trying to get you to sin, so that he can be punished by Beis Din. The Torah gives us very strict laws against a Mesis, a Jewish instigator or missionary who tries to get Yidden to accept strange gods. The Torah tells us we can't even have any love for him as we have for a fellow Jew. When the Torah says, V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha, to love your fellow Jew just like yourself, the Torah does not mean a Mesis. Rather, it is a mitzvah to hate him. Like it says in Tehillim, Halei misanecha Hashem esna. Hashem, do I not hate those who hate you? The Torah tells us further, we may not judge the Mesis favorably, and not to treat him with mercy. And even though they're Beis Din, before they put someone to death, they always have to try to look for some good point about him to save him from being put to death. But that's not the case with a Mesis. If someone is trying to get other Jews to worship idols, the Beis Din has a mitzvah to put him to death immediately. This, of course, is only if there were proper witnesses who saw the Mesis do the terrible sin of trying to convince another Yid to worship idols. Once the Beis Din is convinced, and they know for sure that he is a Mesis, they put him to death with skila, stoning. And it's a mitzvah that Yid, whom the Mesis tried to talk into worshiping idols, that Yid should throw the first stone at him. And then Beis Din is supposed to send a written message throughout Eretz Yisrael to announce, so-and-so was put to death because he was a Mesis. And like this, all the Yidden will learn a lesson and be very careful. Following this mitzvah about a Mesis, the Torah now tells us the mitzvah of Ir HaMidachas, a Jewish city that has been misled into worshipping idols. Moshe told the Yidden, if it ever happens that the great Sanhedrin, the judges in Yerushalayim, were ever told that some people of a Jewish city in Eretz Yisrael went to the other people of their city, telling them to accept a god other than Hashem, or to serve idols, the Sanhedrin must investigate and find out the truth. The Sanhedrin sends special messengers. They should go to the city and find out what happened. And if they find out that most of the people of that city served idols, even though they were warned by witnesses to stop, The Sanhedrin then calls all the Jewish people together to make a war against that city. The city is surrounded until it is conquered, and all the people of that city are forced to surrender, that is, to give themselves over to the hands of the Sanhedrin. Now, in order to find out which Yidden actually served the idols, the Sanhedrin makes a whole bunch of small courts of law, and each of these small basins would find out which Yidden served the idols. The judges would question the witnesses, and any Yid who was warned by two witnesses not to worship an idol, and later two witnesses saw that Yid worshiping an idol, that Yid would be taken aside. After all the small courts found out which Yidden worshipped idols, the Sanhedrin will then count up all those Yidden. When they get the number of those Yidden, they will see, is it more than half of all the people of the city, or less than half? If they are less than half of the city, then the Beis Din puts these Yidden to death by skila, stoning, and the innocent ones are released, and the case is finished. But if the Sanhedrin finds out that most of the city worshipped idols, then it announces that the city is an Ir Hanidachas, a city misled into idol worship. And then the Sanhedrin does the following laws. First of all, the people who are the ones who started this, that went to their brethren to get them to worship idols, they are put to death with skila, stoning, which is the harshest death penalty. Then, all the men who are found guilty of idol worship, as well as all the women and children in the city, are put to death by the sword. Then, they take all of the belongings of these people who were put to death, and they burn them. Even if their belongings were in a different city, they are brought and burnt. Then, those people who did not serve the idols, they go free, but their possessions and all of their belongings are burned. This is a punishment for them that they chose to live in a city with such big rishayim. That's why they have to lose their belongings. Then all the city's buildings are burned to the ground. Anything which is holy in the city, such as sfarim or writings, they are buried rather than burned. Also, animals which were set aside as korbanos are also not burned. These buildings that are burnt down are never allowed to be rebuilt again. They are supposed to be laid waste forever as a reminder to the Yidden of what happens to a city that denies Hashem. And the Torah tells us that a Yid should never take any of the belongings of this city that's supposed to be burnt. These items are treated as chedim, forbidden objects, from which no Jew may benefit. Now, the judges of the great Sanhedrin, who are given such a difficult job to do, to destroy an entire city, might be frightened. Will the many relatives of these people who are going to be put to death become their enemies? And how are people going to look at this of destroying an entire city? That's why the Torah tells us, as our Chachamim explain, that Hashem promises, I will consider your fulfilling the laws of Ir Hanidachas as if you had brought a carbon oila before me. By doing this, you remove my anger from the Jewish people. Because while there are Rishayim in the world, there is the anger of Hashem in the world. By getting rid of the Rishayim, that only helps the world. And the Torah promises the judges three special things. First of all, usually when a person does something which is cruel, like killing, it usually makes a person get in himself a bad midah, a bad character. But over here Hashem promises that if you fulfill the Torah law of getting rid of the people and destroying the Ir HaNidachas, Hashem will do the opposite for you. Will put into your hearts, into your soul, a feeling of mercy. Second of all, the relatives of those who are put to death will not hate the judges. Instead, Hashem promises them, I will implant peace and friendship in the hearts of their relatives. And they're going to say, we are not against what you did. It was truthful. And the third promise is that even though the judges might be afraid that by killing out so many Yidden of Ir HaNidachas, it might make the Yidden less in number because they're killing out so many Yidden, Hashem guarantees, I will increase you. I will make up for the lost lives by giving you many more tzaddikim. Moshe finished this mitzvah by saying, you don't have to worry about the consequences of destroying an Ir HaNidachas, as long as you do what is right in the eyes of Hashem. Now, did an Ir HaNidachas ever happen? Well, one of our Chachamim tell us, there never was an Ir HaNidachas, nor will there ever be one. A city that has in itself even one single mezuzah, or a scroll on which Hashem's name is inscribed, can never become an Ir HaNidachas, because it is forbidden to burn these holy things. And according to the laws of Ir HaNidachas, they would have to be burned. Yes, there surely never was, and never will be a Jewish city that had no Chumashim or other holy writings. Rabbi Yonasan, however, says that the case of Ir HaNidachas did happen. And therefore, any holy writings found in an Ir HaNidachas are buried, and then the city is burned. In fact, says Rabbi Yonasan, I once visited a Ir HaNidachas. I sat on the wasted site of such a city. Now, according to the opinion that the laws of Ir HaNidachas never happened and never will happen, so why did Hashem give us such a mitzvah in the Torah? The answer is that Hashem rewards us even for studying those laws of the Torah that never happen. We learn it just because this is Hashem's law, Hashem's will. Now Moshe warns the Yidden about another bad custom of the Knanim. In the olden times, a close friend or relative of someone who just passed away would be in so much pain that he would tear his hair out, or he would make wounds on his body. There was also a custom to cut one's flesh in honor of the gods. And the Torah warns us, do not imitate the Goyisha practices of cutting the flesh. May also not tear out your hair to the point of making yourself bald. And the Torah tells us why. Banim atem laHashem aleikechem. You are the sons of Hashem your God, and therefore you are fit to be looking nice, handsome, and not cut or made bald. Ki am kadesh ata laHashem aleikecha. For you are a holy people to Hashem. This is a holiness that you inherited from your fathers. And in addition to that, Uvecha bochar Hashem lihiyos leila am segula. Hashem has chosen you for himself to be a treasured people. Moshe continued, Leisechal kol teyeva. Do not eat anything that I told you you're not allowed to eat. And here Moshe began reviewing all the dinim about kosher animals and birds. Moshe told the Yidden which animals they are allowed to eat and which not. A kosher animal must have two things, split hooves and chew its cud. If an animal has only one of these two, we cannot eat it. Then Moshe reviewed the dinim about kosher fish, that only fish that have both fins and scales are we allowed to eat. If it's missing fins and scales, then we are not allowed to eat it. Then Moshe reviewed the dinim of kosher birds, and Moshe told them which birds they are not allowed to eat. Then Moshe concluded, Lo seichlu chol nevela, that a yid is not allowed to eat a nevela, that is, an animal which was not slaughtered, it was killed any other way. La ger asher bisharecha titnena v'achala, to the stranger who is in your cities you shall give it, and he may eat it. This is talking about a goy who's living in Eretz Yisrael, who has accepted upon himself not to worship idols, but he's still allowed to eat nevela, animals that were not slaughtered. Oy macher lenachri, or you may sell it to a non-Jew. And then Moshe tells the Yidden, Ki am kadesh ata l'Hashem alekecha, for you are a holy people to Hashem your God. And as Rashi explains, what does this mean? Kadesh es atzmecha, make yourself holy in that which is permitted to you. What does this mean? That a Yid has a mitzvah not only to hold himself back from not eating or doing things which are forbidden, but even those things which are permitted to him, he should hold himself back when it is not necessary. The purpose of a Yid on earth is to serve Hashem, and therefore he should only do those things which are necessary to help him serve Hashem, that is, to eat healthy foods, to sleep well, to dress right, to be clean, and we do this all only l'shem shamayim, for the sake of Hashem.